The new Connect FM.
Hey, it's our St. Elsewhere music, and that means it's time to talk with the doctor for our weekly health check. Hi there, it's 1:05. I'm Mary Lynn.
I'm Diane Ducey.
And Dr. Brent Riefsteck, pediatrician with Carl on the phone with us. How are you, Dr. Riefsteck?
Very good, and how are you guys today?
Wonderful. It's always good to have you on. I was about to have a stroke, since that's what we're going to be talking about. Just talking about the new emergency alert system and the fact there'll be a chip in my phone. Tell you, some things, Doc, they get me riled up. So,
with good reason.
The reason we are going to be talking about strokes today is because, one, Carl is a designated primary stroke center, and two, May is Stroke Awareness Month, correct?
Correct, yeah. It's something that affects pretty much everybody in every walk of life in one way or another. You know somebody that has had a stroke, or you're at high risk for a stroke, or a close family member that you're taking care of. So, you know, it's a timely thing. It's a Stroke Awareness Month. Plus, Carl is unique in that we're a designated primary stroke center.
Mm. Yeah, I have an aunt who had a stroke, Beulah Drum, and there's a scholarship in her name at the University of Illinois. A brilliant, brilliant woman who spent probably the last decade of her life not being able to speak and having to be cared for over at Clark Lindsay, and a wonderful facility.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, it's awful. I mean,
it happened to my husband January of 08.
Right, that's right.
And so, and thankfully, we responded right away. I knew the EMT in the neighborhood. We had oxygen within 5 minutes, and that made all the difference in the world, I'm sure.
Well, and he's fine. So, yeah, Doctor, Dr. Riefsteck, what makes the difference between, you know, how one is affected?
There's a number of things.
Okay.
And you have to remember that stroke is not one specific thing. It's one thing that happens inside the brain. If you think about a heart attack, stroke is like a brain attack. A stroke is like the stopping of blood flow to a portion of the brain. Now, it can be a very small portion. It can be a very large portion. And that's what determines the severity of it. Not only that, but it also determines you know, the length of time between the onset of symptoms or the onset of that insult and the treatment time. That time actually determines also damage. Think about it this way. In your muscles and your skin, your body can heal that area. But after you turn 2, you got all the brain you're ever going to have. And if you damage or destroy those cells, you're not getting them back. So
I'm in trouble.
This is bad news.
It's very important to remember that time is brain. So whenever you do have a family member or somebody who has symptoms, it's important to remember that time is of the essence. It's very important to keep that in mind.
Okay. You know, I've got so many questions to ask you. Why don't we start with this? There's symptoms, there's what can we do to prevent stroke? Mm-hmm. Why don't we start with what can we do to prevent stroke?
Prevent stroke, there's a number of different, you know, symptoms, a number of different, risk factors that you're wanting to think about.
Okay.
And, you know, it's basically all about clotting, things that affect your clotting. Now, some people have clotting disorders. It's important to know your family history. You know, cousin Danny died of a blood clot, you know, Uncle Bill died of a pulmonary embolism, which is a type of clot. Those clots that end up in the heart or in the lungs, it's the same mechanism, can end up in the brain.
Okay.
So, you know, it's important to know your family history.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that increases your risk for blood clots, such as birth control pills, smoking, poor diet, high cholesterol. These are all risk factors for a stroke. So the important thing to remember is general health is going to be important, just like we've talked about before. Good diet, good exercise, cutting back on the things that you know are not good for you. Those are all going to be, you know, steps toward lowering your stroke risk. And it's not something you should think about once you get to the twilight years. It's something you should think about even when you're young. Believe it or not, those fatty streaks that end up becoming blood clots are present in 10-year-old kids. those beginnings of blood clots can be present on autopsy in children. So those processes start early. So the foods you eat now can come back to get you later on. So it's important to maintain a good, healthy lifestyle.
Okay, well, what if you haven't been eating the healthiest and some of the risk factors that you read off there? I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, if you've already damaged yourself, I mean, what should you do? Because it's kind of hard sometimes. I mean, nobody's going to live the perfect lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's never too late to make those changes. And what I usually suggest to my families and my patients is don't try to flip the switch and do everything all at once. Someone who is a smoker and who drinks more alcohol in a day than they should and has a very poor diet and is obese, if you decide to flip it and go to a very healthy diet, completely get rid of alcohol, completely get rid of smoking, completely change your lifestyle all at once, mm-hmm. you will fail.
Okay.
That is too difficult to do. Our emotionally constipated Midwestern brains cannot handle all of that change all at once. You have to remember that those gradual changes are the best way to do it. Just for example, in the last, I don't know if we've talked about it before, but in the last, 15 to 18 months, I've lost close to 50 pounds.
Nice.
I didn't do that. Yeah, I didn't do that by changing my diet and my exercise program all at once. The first thing I did was I gave up Mountain Dew. The second thing that I did was I stopped eating fast food at lunchtime, and then every, couple weeks I would make another change so that I wasn't making a huge lifestyle change all at once. I was doing it stepwise.
Uh-huh.
And so each of those little steps was easy to do and easy to maintain once I continued. So then once I've made all of these little changes, suddenly I look back and I'm like, wow, I don't know how I ever lived like that before. And I feel like a whole different person. So no big lifestyle changes all at once, just the little steps, and you can become successful.
Now I feel like I can relate to you even
right.
more.
Right, and see, just having that mentality of less to me, if you smoke 4 cigarettes a day, just try to get by with 2 or something like that. Or instead of Mountain Dews a couple of times a day, maybe one of those is a water and one Mountain Dew, and just gradually doing less is a good idea.
Mm-hmm. It is a good idea, and smarter and simpler. Is if you eat a huge portion of meal and you have a bunch of stuff piled on it, just think about light seasoning, light butter, light, stuff like that. Really simplifying the way you eat and the way you go about your day.
Okay. Dr. Brent Riesteck is on the phone with us for our weekly health check. And Dr. Riesteck's a pediatrician with Carl. It is National Stroke Awareness Month, and Carl is a designated primary stroke center.
And we've got some statistics to surprise you with, things to think about. Stroke is the number 3 cause of death in adults and the number 1 cause of serious long-term disability. Think about all the folks that you know that had stroke. I know one of you was talking about
my aunt
who couldn't speak for the last 10 years of her life, and that was probably one of the biggest detriments to her because she can still think.
Yeah.
Clearly, but she can't express herself. How frustrating would that be?
I know. So, it just seems so cruel to such a wonderful, outstanding woman who helped so many people. And it's like, anyway, it's just, it's scary.
And every second counts, like we talked about before. 2 million brain cells are lost every minute when you have cut off of blood flow to the brain.
Wow.
So time lost is brain loss.
Wow.
Stroke victims only have about a 3 to 4 hour window to receive life-saving treatment and to get the best possible outcomes. So let me give you an idea about this. We're going to talk about symptoms in a minute, but you see that your loved one is having a symptoms and you want to get them help. So the first thing you think of, load them up in the car and go. About 69% of folks that end up at the hospital come by EMS, come from ambulances. But that still leaves close to 30% of our stroke patients that end up coming by private transport. So they just load it up in the car. Realize that when you call 911, that life-saving treatment can start at your doorstep.
Right.
Whereas if you go by private car, number one, you're freaking out. So mm-hmm. you have a higher chance of getting into an accident and making things even worse. But also, you are actually delaying that life-saving treatment. It does not take very long for that ambulance to make it to your home and start that treatment right away. Whereas if you're bringing your loved one by car, you are actually possibly delaying that life-saving treatment.
Okay.
So how do you recognize the signs of a stroke? Well, there's a couple of different mnemonics we can use. Our current program from Carl talks about give me five for strokes. So the first one is walk. Is their balance off? Talk. Is their speech slurred or is their face droopy? Reach. Is one side of their body weak or numb?
Mm-hmm.
See. Is their vision all or partly lost? And feel. Is their headache very severe? So walk, talk, reach, see, and feel. If you ask them to give you five and you have that quick assessment, five different things, if you have any red flags there, it's always a good idea to err on the side of caution, call 911. Your primary stroke center is not far away, and there are experts there that's all they do. That's all they do. They're there to take care of our stroke patients.
Now, is there one side or the other?
About every 40 seconds in the United States, someone has a stroke.
40 seconds. Is there one side or the other that a person should lay on if, you're waiting for the ambulance to arrive?
No, if they're having problems with vomiting, you always just want to lay them on their side.
Okay.
But, if they're having trouble and they have weakness on one total side, it's better just to get them close to the floor and have them sitting down or laying down.
Okay.
Yeah, just so that they're closest to the floor, because what most of us don't realize is when you lose feeling or muscle tone on one side of the body, you suddenly have no ability to maintain your posture or gait. So you'll have to lay down.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Well, I love the give them five thing. That's pretty incredible. And we'll definitely post this on our Facebook page as well, because this is just great, valuable information. And with it being Stroke Awareness Month, and you've provided us with some great information like you always do, Dr. Mm-hmm. Winstead.
Always a pleasure.
Now I want to go home and eat really healthy and
there you go. Start exercising, drink some water. It's all good.
I know. Okay. Well, we look forward to chatting with you again next week for some more great health tips, our weekly health check with Dr. Wiestek. And, of course, you can always look him up. He's a pediatrician with Carl. And we thank you so much.
My pleasure.
93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM.